Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, wherever you're doing, and welcome to another episode of Post-Conference Presser for Anfield Index. I'm your normal host, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Davis, coming to you from a freezing cold and miserable as shit Edinburgh, where it is pissing down. And to be honest, maybe I'm just feeling one of these moods after Sunday. And do you know what? It might actually take kickoff in this Atalanta game for me to shake it. Maybe a few of you might have beaten it already, but we'll see. So we'll do the normal. And because it's a European, we'll talk about the two sets of questions and answers, one for a player, one for the manager. We'll talk about the clues from the United game. We'll talk about the threats that Atalanta pose. And then we'll think about the formation and the lineup. So, yeah, it's Europeans. So there's a player and then the manager, isn't there? So Harvey Elliott was the player called for, which is interesting, isn't it? Because there's a lot of people back fit. Playing, you think, you know, in terms of seniority. The one thing I would say as well is every time a player has attended the press conference, they have started the game. So that is one to think about. You think it's a bit strange to call forth Harvey Elliott for this and then not start him. So what was Harvey Elliott asked? What did he answer? So the first thing he was asked about was, you know, how they're all feeling after the United game. And he said, yeah, we're very disappointed after that game. Us too, Harvey. Us too. But quickly forgotten about, it's a good thing you're able to go into a game a few days afterwards. Our preparations quickly changed to today's game. So the focus is now on putting in a performance today. I think you got Thursday's game, realistically. But there we go. And again, it's right. They should be disappointed. You hope they're all feeling that. They probably wish the game was a bit quicker, if anything. But it is what it is. He was then asked about, and this was an interesting one, sort of in terms of meaning more to win in European, how everything works, and mainly because it's the only trophy Jurgen Klopp hasn't won. He said, yeah, absolutely. It's another great one for us to try and win. And with the circumstance of what's going on and the gaffer leaving, to sign off winning it would be the best possible way. We do everything we can as players to make sure that happens. We just want to give everything back to the gaffer. There's a lot of, this may seem sentimentality, but it's not. Every trophy we're going for is important. We want to win everything. People will have the priorities, and that's fair. I get the sentimentality of this because people are saying this is the one trophy Jurgen Klopp has not won as Liverpool manager, isn't he? He's not got that Europa on his timeline or on his trophy wall, however you want to put it. He's been to the final, he's lost it once, so it would be complete the set as people win. And I get it, because it's the final game, but there'll be nothing sentimental in Jurgen Klopp's approach whatsoever. was then asked a great couple of questions. And I remember seeing people's reactions to this, which is absolute nonsense. Why are you putting Harvey on the spot? Press him on this. I think it's right to ask these questions and see what his individual take is. It also, we see what Harvey's like under the spotlight. Another part in his development, isn't it, as he sort of moves forward in the squad. And I'm not just talking about minutes on the pitch, but role. You know, you want to see him develop in every sense. So there were some great questions he was asked. So the first one was about the sub role. And does he find it hard, you know, always coming on the way it is? So he said, not really. It's just about making sure I'm analysing the game. It's seeing where I can exploit different teams and areas I can put myself in. But quite frankly, I want to be starting games. I want to be the player walking out rather than coming on. It doesn't mean I'm not grateful for coming on the pitch and very grateful for every opportunity I get for Liverpool. But for me, it's about kicking on and cementing myself in the team, and I'll do everything I can to do that. Love that answer. Because that's been his role, to be fair, most of the season, people would argue. Super sub, and I think that's clear. It shows intelligence where he comes on. He's obviously been analysing the game, looking at where, whether it's talking with Klopp, Linders, whoever, him, knowing where he can change it and make things happen. And that's been a big part of his season. Also, has been a part of the season that it's fair to say it's not a criticism, but he hasn't quite had the impact starting and as he's had when coming on. And that's why Jurgen Klopp has put him in that position a lot of time. At the moment, he's been really good. That's fair to say. He's really been shining recently, and it's right to be asking the question again. You know, the way he's playing, should he be getting more starts? That's a very fair question to ask. And it's, as he said, it's for him to be grateful, but kicking on and getting every opportunity. So if, as we suspect, he does start tomorrow night, he's got to grasp that, because it's an easy narrative to write now. If he doesn't play well and he starts, it's an easy narrative to say, should be on the bench, Harvey, isn't he? He's our game changer, but he's not a starter. If he wants to change that, when he starts, he's got to have a real impact. If you a sub and have an impact, that's fine. But if you want to change that narrative, have an impact as a starter. And I suspect he will get that chance tomorrow. So then he was asked about, you know, are you knocking on the manager's door? And he kind of laughed and looked at the floor, which could well be wrong, could say amateur psychologist and wish.com and all that. But I think they probably answered his question there. He said, yeah, but I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a man growing up quickly. I need to take responsibilities into my own hands. If that means knocking on the gaffer's door, that's what's got to happen. At the same time, I do need to wait for opportunities. I do need to be patient. But when I get them, I want to take them. It would not surprise you remotely if that conversation's happened. If Harvey Elliott has knocked, I suspect it has knocked on Jurgen Klopp's door and said, like, gaffer, what's going on and all this? You know, I'm doing this, blah, blah, blah. It would not surprise you if Jurgen Klopp said, honestly, you're unbelievable. The talent you've got, your ceiling, you know, he's great with players. But essentially, when you start, it's not been quite as good as when you come on. It's a competitive squad and you have to take that next leap. Both those things can be true. I don't know why the art of analysis seems to have escaped us at the moment. I'll come on to that with the United game. But in truth, I would be astonished if that hasn't happened. However, when Harvey starts, he's got to take that opportunity. Otherwise, he's going to be cast in this perennial super sub role. He won't be the first. He might not be the last at Liverpool. But when you start, take that opportunity. And the final question he was asked, which I thought was a good one, about England and how it works. He said, no, I've not had any chats with Gareth Southgate about it. My main priority is Liverpool. I'd put in performances like I'm doing. You never know what's going to come around the corner. With the under-21s, I'm so happy to represent my country. And it's massive as well. For me, though, it's about focusing on Liverpool. And if called upon at the end of the season, happy, honoured and willing to go. And I believe that. Happy, honoured, willing. I totally believe he'd love to get the call. Let us all hope, for Liverpool's sakes, that Gareth Southgate, pray he remains as ignorant as he always has. Pray he remains ignorant about Curtis. Harvey. Christ, that's brilliant. Bit gutting when he realised Trent was a good player all of a sudden. absolute moron. So let's just hope they're not part of England's squad, because that's the benefit for Liverpool there. So then Harvey exits and Jurgen Klopp walks in, doesn't he? And he's straight into questions. And I get why this was the question. We saw those players back, as in Jota, Trent, Alisson, Bajcetic back in training. So what does that mean? Are they available for tomorrow? What did Jurgen Klopp say? So we'll have to see about that. We obviously didn't rush it with the boys. We could do, but we didn't. And they've had a lot of training, especially Diogo and Trent. They've worked as almost a group together for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they could do proper training. They looked very good yesterday, to be honest, as well. Stefan's a little different. He's been out for much longer, but he's now training with us for a while. It makes sense to maybe give him back to the under-21s and let them have his game. Alisson is on his way back now too, so we have to see that. He's back in training, have to see how we can use them, but we need them, and we need to be clear, we need to use them in the best possible shape. We want to give them rhythm, so it's always a challenge to reintegrate those players, but tomorrow, I've not made decision yet. Woof! I mean, what a tale of erotic non-fiction by Jurgen Klopp. The fact that Trent and Jota could be back in the mix. Lust that Alisson is the way he phrased it. He's on his way back. The thing is, you never know with Jurgen Klopp, because whatever anyone says, he's going to end his regime the same way, probably not being fully truthful about injuries, as we know, but who cares? But if Trent and Jota can be back in the squad even, that is absolutely massive. And especially because then you're thinking ahead to the Palace game, what impact can they have? Alisson, maybe a little bit further away, as he always intimated, but the fact he's back and playing there in the training videos is massive for us. One thing I would pick him up on where he said, you know, we don't rush players back, we can, but we didn't. Well, let's just correct ourselves on that, Jurgen. You rush back Zob, you rush back Salah, you rush back Trent previously, and it cost you, because three players were re-injured within 2 games with the exact same injury. So it's right to question about that. You feel that's trying to almost revisionism a bit, but do you know what? In the grand context of things, who cares if they're back? And then he was asked about the Europa, or similar to the Harvey question. It's the one you've not won. How do you see it? He kind of went, it's an open one if you want. It's there, but that's not personal for me. 8 years ago when we played in Bar, we played a good first half, but not a good second half. So we lost to serial winners of the competition. So that's not a great night. But it was a start for a lot of other things, which is cool. Last year was like that for majority of the season. It didn't look like we'd be involved in international competition at all. And when we saw the chance to get in the Europa League, we were desperate to do so, as we wanted to win the competition. But for all that to have the necessary steps, and there's only great teams left, and you look and you know what Atalanta's all about and how well Gasperini's done, Italian teams are always difficult to play. So we'll have to see. Yeah, it is the only one. And I get, as I mentioned before, that sentimental impact for many. I don't think Jurgen Klopp really cares about any of that. And quite rightly, it's about focus and winning everything we can. It's Europa well behind Premier League for most, for me, for 99% of fans, I would say. Doesn't mean we won't take it seriously, but yeah, it just is what it is. And then the final question, which I think, well, there was a few others, but this is the ones that matter, I'd say, more than anything. People will clip this, people will interpret this, this will be the big talking point. He was asked about the fact that Liverpool, let me correct this, I want to be crystal clear. Spion Kop, 1906, has said there'll be no flags on the Kop for this game in protest with the recent ticket increases. So he was asked about that. The flags are not there, no. That's not cool. Long as people are there, they're all good. I understand the concerns and the discussion, definitely. It's a tricky one from my point of view. Obviously, to say I didn't really know about it, Tony, as in Tony Barrett, told me about it before the press conference. We want to have people in the stadium. We want it to be available for everybody. We are a self-sustaining club. As long as I'm here, each pound been it since football, goes back into the football club. And a lot of good things are there. But I understand 100% where the supporters are coming from. And I'm sure we will find a solution. It maybe starts with protest and follows with discussions, which is good. But we need to make sure that nothing gets between us and supporters. But between the two big whistles, we'll be there for Liverpool. And hopefully we'll find a solution, I'm sure. Again, he just gets the tone right. And I'd say, as much as I'm describing it, watch the way he answers. Watch his tone. Watch his delivery. Everything about Jurgen Klopp you should be watching. He nailed it better than I can describe. I think he was right. It's not cool that the flags aren't there. No one wants that. Just to be clear, though, the people protesters in the supporters, clubs, the groups, they don't want that there. They will quite rightly argue that their hands being enforced by the club. The club will not want the flags to be absent. That's clear as well. But also, the club have brought this upon themselves. I think there's a couple of things to say which are absolutely crucial. I'm getting tired of people posting things about who are these people, and things like the right to protest. Liverpool fans has always been there. The 77th minute, the club, the owners, they've always protested. That's part of our DNA. The supporters clubs and these fan groups have been cleared. They were not engaged on this issue. So why is everyone telling them what they should and shouldn't be doing? Absolutely baffles me beyond belief. I understand the argument, I do, that I've seen about the amount, the percentage, the pound, whatever you want to call it. I understand the argument that a price increase is in line with other clubs. I've seen that. I understand that as well. I understand both points of view on this. What I'm getting tired of is people saying, oh, they shouldn't be doing this, or labelling people. You can have a debate with a pal and see things differently, but respect their point of view. And that's the key thing. I think Jurgen Klopp probably answered it than any PR department answer could come from Liverpool Football Club. Hopefully we found a solution. I'm not sure really on this. I mean that. But for me, everything about is about the focus on what we can win. But I'm tired of seeing people saying people shouldn't protest and do this. People have a right to do what they want. If you don't agree with it, that is your right as well. But respect the other view. So we'll go to United. Oh, Christ, no one wants to. But the clues, the 2-2, I mean, still baffling. I'm still raging from it. I can be honest about that. When we talk about honest thoughts, I mean, Diaz 1-0. The amount of chances, it's just so wasteful. The forwards miss so many. That's the underlying tale of the game. It's also true, that out of the front six, if you want to call that, the three in midfield, the three up front, there's only really McAllister that has a good game, I think you could say. The others should understandably, despite whatever goals, assists, go in their column, look at that. It's also fair to say that Jarrell Kwanzaa's error is horrendous. I don't know why people are wanting Thomas. I've seen some things and reports like people turn him into Maldini. Apart from that, he had a good game. That's fair to say. He's been a talent. He's unbelievable this season. That does not stop it being a horrendous error. That does not mean that doesn't change the game. I know there's a lot of double negatives there, but that's why it's called analysis. And what's happening to people at the moment? Like, you can criticise and say someone's done some good things. That's analysis. It's not all good. It's not all bad, as people are desperate. Or if you say you make a critical point, seems to be our attacking. It's not. That error changed the game. It played a part. It's also true to say that we were wasteful. All those parts go into it. But we're trying to speak too much more about this. We say about play their way in and out. Maybe Harvey Elliott's got that biggest case, hasn't he? And that's why he turned up to the press conference. But yeah, I'll probably only feel better about United. Maybe never better is the wrong word, but forget it when that Atalanta game kicks off. And it's right to talk about Atalanta because they will be a threat. This is massive for them. They're sixth in Serie A. Everyone knows about Gasperini, his style. You attack, we attack. That's the way he plays. Almost very un-Italian. I mean, they've got Scalvini, their centre-half out, which is pleasing for us. They're a real mixed team because if you look at their results, I mean, they played 30 in the league. They've won half the games, so 15 out of 30, but they've lost 10. Yeah, so you probably do the math. That means they've drawn 5, but they tend to win or lose. They attack, we attack. You know, they score a lot of goals for Serie A. That's their style. We know a few of their players. Koopman is their top scorer on 11. You look at Luckman, the old Everton boy. Yeah, that's the one on 8. Skamaka, the old West Ham boy. Skamaka, if it's pronounced rightly. You know, the big lump. Didn't quite hit it at West Ham, but has been doing well there. He's got 7. So they are a tough nut. I do think they'll be tougher back in Bergamo than they will here. That is what my gut tells me, and I'll come on to that. But people should just not be writing these boys off at all. Which brings us to formation, as in how do I think we'll set up and the team and everything. I think it'll be the standard. I think there'll be an inversion now, the lineup. Alisson isn't ready, so Kelleher's in nets. Trent isn't ready fully, so Bradley will be right back. Canate and VVD. I mean, if Canate's not fit for this, like, Christ, what the frick is going on? But Canate, VVD, Bradley. I think Gomez will play this one. I think Gomez will play this one with Robbo probably starting on Sunday. So that's my back five. Kelleher, Bradley, VVD, Canate, Gomez. In the middle, Endo, Maka, Harvey Elliott. I think it'll be quite strong. Endo to cover Harvey Elliott and Maka. I think Szoboszlai and Jones didn't play that well in different ways, different minutes. I know all this. And I had the big debate with Ben Boxack. I think people are getting carried away with, again, the analysis. It's okay to say you did a few good things, Szoboszlai, but overall he wasn't that great. It's a big miss. All that's true. So that's my midfield. The forward line, I think he'll back him again. And I think he'll play what he considers to be his strongest he has available. So I think it will be Salah, Nunes and Diaz. It's one of those. They were wasteful. And if anyone didn't play, maybe we'll see it as a shock. I wouldn't necessarily. But I do think that is the forward line he will play. And he'll be hoping to get goals. Get a bit of confidence, not confident, maybe the wrong word, because people just goes to nothing, but try and get back. And they'll be chatting behind closed doors, as we know. Hopefully they'll feel they've got a point to prove. Which leaves score and scorers, ladies and gents. This might seem mental. 4-1. I think it'll be 4-1. And I think Mo Salah will be on the score sheet. I hope that there'll be a bit of saber rattling. They'll be disappointed in the dressing room. You know how they'll talk. They'll be talking about, right, do it on the pitch then. Yeah, and maybe seem fanciful after all the chances we wasted, but I can't get that out of my head, so I'm going to trust my gut. 4-1, Mo Salah to score. That would be great. We don't seem to be keeping clean sheets. We do seem porous. Errors are getting punished. We just seem on that run. So 4-1, Mo Salah to score. That is my prediction. Maybe we'll only fully get over United at the weekend when this one kicks off on Thursday night. But, ladies and gents, that was another post-conference presser for Anfield Index.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.